We're going to spend a few moments just thinking about that chapter. It's a chapter in a book in the Old Testament, the part of the Bible written before Jesus, and it's in the book of Job. And Job is someone who lived a long time ago, maybe around the time of Abraham, so a long while back. And he was rich and upright, meaning he was a rich man, wealthy man, but also a very good man and made good use of all that God had given him. But Satan was allowed to judge him, to test him. And he lost his children and his wealth and his health. And he responds to that testing in worship and in faith. He doesn't stop believing in God. He doesn't blame God. He praises God. He doesn't charge God with wrongdoing and says, "You don't know what you're doing." But he does spend a lot of time, and we've looked at that so far in this book of Job. He spends a lot of time wondering, why is this happening to me? What is going on? So although he worships and although he doesn't stop trusting in God, he's got loads of questions for God. And his friends try and answer, basically trying to say, it's your fault. You must have done something wrong, and that's why you're suffering. And Job knows that they're wrong in saying that, but he doesn't know what the answer is. And he's searching for the answer, and he's desperately trying to find God, to speak to God, to make his case to God. And that's the context of this chapter, which is a bit different. Not quite sure who's speaking, probably Job. But it's a moment of kind of standing back from his anguish and talking about this thing called wisdom. And we're just going to look at it really briefly. And first of all, the first 22 verses talk about the preciousness of wisdom, the preciousness of wisdom. Now, it's an all-age service, so we have some all-age type stuff to do, which is super hard when you're also online. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to feel like a Blue Peter presenter, if some of you know what that is, just at this moment. But I've got a question for you. First of all, for children in the room, really, but you can message me if you like, and I'll have a look in a moment if you want to shout out if you're watching online. But what is this? It's a rock. What sort of a rock? Yeah, pretty ordinary looking sort of rock, isn't it? It's a bit of sort of sandstone, I think you'd call it. And what's quite exciting is that I'm going to try and smash it up, if that's all right with everybody. This is from a children's toys, everybody, who's kind of health and safety conscious. And they don't tell you to wear glasses on those, but they do tell you to use a different hammer. But that takes about 3 hours to get through, so this one is more effective. So here we go. Here's a piece of rock, and I'm going to just smash it up. Any idea why I might be smashing it up? Children who don't know, because we've practiced it at home. Anyone have a guess why I'm smashing it up? Want to have a go at the Whitleys or the Jameses? Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah, hand up over there. Go for it. You think it's coins? There might be coins, and that's very close. Very close. Right, here we go. I don't know whether this table's solid enough, so we'll give it a go. Whoa, that worked rather too well. Well, guess what happened? I don't know what to do first, clear up or find the one. Here we go. Guess what was inside? Can you see that? It's a precious stone. And actually, there's another precious stone hidden in here as well. There might be even more, but I think I'll make more of a mess if I smash it up anymore. Let me just get that one out. So we got out of that piece of very average-looking rock, just put that one out of the way, we've got a couple of precious stones. And I smashed up a few during the week, and we got even more precious stones in that. And you can come and have a look at them later, children, if you want to. So I'm going to put them in my precious stones bag. Oh, there's one on the floor as well. Did another one fall out as well? That bit of sandstone had three precious stones in it. Let me just put that out of the way for a sec. Kick a bit more dust out of the way. There we go. Put those on there too. Well, Job talks a little bit about how that we work really hard in order to find precious metals and precious stones. We get rock out of the ground and we smash it up with hammers and we find the precious jewels, Or we get certain rock out of the ground, or we flush it out of the ground with water, and we get rock that's got gold in it, or silver in it, or iron in it. And then we heat it up really hot, smash it up a bit, heat it up really hot, and then we get the actual metal bit, the precious bit, out of it. We love going on holiday to Cornwall, been there loads of times. And there was about 2,000 mines in Cornwall, mostly tin mines. It's rather exciting because some of those are reopening at the moment, just a few of them. And they've also discovered lithium, which is used in batteries and stuff. So Cornwall mining industry might come back, which is good. There'll be like a new series of Poldark, Poldark 21st century. Sorry, you probably have to be like middle-aged to watch Poldark, but anyway. That's could be a return of that. But mines are places, sometimes rivers are places, where you find precious rocks, sorry, rocks that have precious stones in them. So Job says that. He says people make a lot of effort to find gold and precious stones. He says they assault the flinty rock with their hands. That's what we did. They tunnel through the rock. Their eyes see its treasures. They search the sources of rivers. You get a thing sometimes where you sieve the stones that are in a river and you try and shake out until the little glistening bits happen. I think that's what's, where the expression the flash in the pan comes from, where you're shaking a pan with rocks in and you find a little bit of gold and it glints and you think, oh, I found some gold. Like the 49ers in the States. That's what he says in the first 11 verses. But then he says, there's a problem. That's all very well and good. But where, he says, can wisdom be found? Where can you find wisdom? We search, we work. We're pretty good at finding precious metals and precious stones. But where and how could we possibly find wisdom? I wonder what he means by wisdom. Maybe when you hear the word, you have a kind of understanding. But I wonder what he actually means by wisdom. Any of the children in the room want to tell me what they think this is? I'll open it out a little bit, but you might kind of immediately know. Anybody have an idea what this is? Yes, Judah. It's a castle. No, it's not a castle. Good guess, though. Looks a bit the shape of a castle. Yes, Annie Rose. It is a building. Oh, it's upside down. Thanks for telling me, everybody, all you wonderful adults. Yes, do you want to say more specifically what it is, Violet or Blake? Pardon? No, it's not a school, it's close. It is the church, Blake. It is actually a plan of this church. I'll give you a little shake if you're online, you can have a look. This is the plan when we redeveloped this building. There used to be a stage up there, like the thing that's here, up that end, and that's why the baptismal pool's at that end, before we redeveloped and pushed back here and did all sorts of stuff. And here is the drawing. It's what you call the architect's plan. And one way of thinking about wisdom is that it's the big plan behind everything. It's like the architect's drawing for the whole world and for the whole of history. It's not on one bit of paper like that, but it's kind of everything behind everything, the universe, the original architect's drawing, the great secret about how it all began, the reason the world works, the laws that govern the universe, the reason when we add two and two, it makes four, and then we do it again and it makes four. This is the wisdom behind the universe. It's the great secret, the way music works mathematically, physiologically, the way an attraction between a man and a woman works emotionally, physically, everything embedded by the one who made the plan. It's wisdom. But it's deeper than that. That's just kind of on the surface, but it goes deeper than that to morality and meaning. It goes deeper to morality. Wisdom is what is right and good. Who defines what is right and good? Everyone in this room will have a view on what is right and what is wrong. And there's all kinds of ways in that you will have inherited that from your upbringing and your experiences and so on. But you will have a thought, this thing is right, this thing is wrong. Without exception, people think that. But where does it come from, right and wrong? And going even deeper than that, deeper than right and wrong and morality, what about meaning? Why? Okay, there's a plan. Okay, there's a right and wrong. But why? Why anything? And why me? We might want to be big philosophical and say, why is there a universe? Why is there lots of things in the world? But we probably just want to go personal philosophical, which is, why me? What does my life mean? Does it mean anything? Do I go from leaping around, being alive, to being just fertilizer, rotting somewhere? Is that it? Is that the purpose? Is that the meaning of life? So everything through from where it all started, how it's all supposed to work, and what it all means, that's the wisdom. That is wisdom, the wisdom that is behind the universe. And Job concludes in what he's talking about is that it's priceless, but he don't know where it is. It's really valuable, but he can't seem to where to find it. See what he says. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal, that means people who live and die, comprehends its worth. He says it's not in a mine. It's not in the sea. I can't dredge it out of a river. You can't buy it with silver or gold. It's both unobtainable, but it's infinitely valuable. It's so valuable. It's one of the most precious things, the most precious thing that you could ever own, and even with the most precious things. Imagine a massive pile of gold here that I'd got out of those pieces of rock. Even that amount of gold couldn't buy you, get you wisdom. So it's really precious and really valuable, but you can't buy it. You can't get it. And for the moment, for Job, he can't even find it. And you know what? It makes you eventually realize that all the things that you thought were valuable, the gold and the silver, the experiences, the possessions, the status, the education, all the things that you thought were valuable actually weren't that valuable because something is so much more valuable. They were good, but they weren't the thing. So that's the first thing. Dave Andrew, just to give him credit, I thought it was one of the children messaging, but he wanted a message in to say flash in the pan is to do with rifles, apparently, so just so you... Any of you are thinking about that, stop thinking about that. Do you know why I said it was from gold? It's actually because of something I was watching on Amazon Prime on Friday night when I was babysitting, which said it. And I thought, oh yeah, that sounds very credible, so I'll use that. But shows, don't trust anything on Netflix or Amazon Prime. Just go to Wikipedia, it's bound to be right. So, first thing, wisdom is precious, so precious, but it seems to be unobtainable. We can't seem to find it. Second point, from verses 20 through to 27, is the source of wisdom. That's what Job goes on to talk about in those verses, the source of wisdom. Destruction and death, he says, say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. But then verse 23, it's where it all takes off. God understands the way to it, and he knows where it dwells. Make sure I've got this the right way up, because I'm good at getting things the wrong way up. I've got it the wrong way up, haven't I? There we are. It's the right way up. There's a tab at the top to keep going. Right. Any of the children want to tell me what this is? It is the world, and there's another word for it. Yes, Noah? It's called a globe, which is the world. It's not actually the world, but it's a copy of the world. It shows us what the world is like. Now, some of you slightly cleverer people, tell me what the yellow bit is. Yes, you guys? It is Europe, yeah. The red bit, somebody? Just a parent tell a child and then they can tell me. Yeah? It is Asia, yeah. And that's North America. Who's the president of North America? Well, you got the Canada bit, so just ignore Canada. Yes? Yes, Blake? You don't know. That's fine. Donald Trump, and we've got Africa around here somewhere. The blue one, thank you very much for helping me out. Africa is the blue one, and then down here, what have we got? Violet? Yes. And is that New Zealand there? Where's New Zealand? That there. That's it. That's right. Good. This shows my geography is really good. And you guys have lived in New Zealand, so I really should have practiced that a little bit better, shouldn't I? But never mind. There's New Zealand down there. Is that the... where is that? That's half in Europe and half in Australasia. Yes, no? Indonesia. Thank you very much. There's lots of islands that make up Indonesia as well, isn't it? So there we are. And I can just about get my head around this and we can kind of understand it. We can sort of help each other along. But if you're God, you completely see all of it all at once. And Job mentions just one thing where he talks about the weather. Now, mostly, our weather kind of builds up over here somewhere. Am I in the right place? Yeah, I am. Builds up over here somewhere in sort of America, North America, South America. And it comes over this way and works its way along and hits Cornwall first normally. And it starts raining there and in Wales and then finds its way across and peters out pretty much by the time he gets to Hayward's Heath. But what Job says is God understands all the weather patterns, all the little bits of wind that are blowing all around the world and all the clouds and all the water droplets. He completely comprehends it all in one go. It's like more than he just holds it in his hands and he can spin around and look at it. It's like he can look at the whole thing all at the same time. And more than that, he can look at the whole thing throughout the whole of history. And he can look into everybody's heart and mind. So he knows the past and he knows the future and he knows the present and he knows what we're thinking and feeling, how we're acting. It's just vast to try and get your head around. How could you possibly simultaneously be able to do that? Most of us use the internet in some way or other. And behind the internet, there are some fantastic data centers. There are massive, massive buildings with loads and loads and loads of computers in them. Sometimes they're working so hard, they plunge them underwater to keep them cool. So there are vast sets of data and knowledge. And so computers and the internet can be really clever and can maybe predict what we're going to say and what we're going to type and what we were searching for and all that kind of thing and remember what we did last week. But that's nothing. That's just nothing compared to the wisdom and the knowledge of God. But what Job understands is more than there is this kind of knowledge behind the universe. He understands that there's a person behind the universe. So he says, wisdom's really hard to find, but it's really valuable. He says, wisdom is God, and then he says, God is a person. Because he says, God understands the way to it. He views the ends of the earth. He sees everything. He established it. He made a decree. He looked at wisdom. He confirmed. He tested it. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is not a force. Wisdom is not an idea. Wisdom is not a set of plans. Wisdom is a person. And only God knows wisdom. Only God sets the rules in wisdom. Only God decides purpose in his wisdom. And the search for wisdom begins with God and it ends with God. The source of wisdom is God. Shout out to the Lewindons who guessed globe. So the source of wisdom is God. And then lastly, the heart of wisdom. Verse 28, God said to the human race, to men and women, to us this morning, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. Job just gives us a little snippet. He doesn't explain everything there is to explain about finding wisdom, about the heart of wisdom. But he gets us into it and thinking about it. And we need the rest of the Bible to open that up more fully to us, to help us to fully understand that. But what Job says is, the fear of the Lord and turning away from evil, that is the heart of what it is to be wise. Because God is the source of everything, because God is the mind behind the universe, because God is personal, then to respect him, to honor him, to give him what he deserves is the beginning of wisdom. It's the ultimate wise thing to do, to try and get into relationship with wisdom. If wisdom begins and ends with God, you want to know God, don't you? Wouldn't you want to? And to fear God means to acknowledge his rightful rule, to respect him, to honor him, to want to do what he wants us to do. But how do we get on with that second part? You could say, well, yeah, I want to honor God, but to shun evil, what does that mean? And anyway, can I really honor God? Can I really honor God every day? I can look to him as the source of wisdom, but can I perfectly fear him? And can I stop doing everything wrong that I have done and that I will do? Can I stop doing those things? Is it enough to say a few Hail Marys, to do some good deeds? Will they outweigh in some way the bad ones? And what Job leads us to, when we really look at that verse, is he actually leads us to Jesus Christ. Because the answer in the Bible is not respect God and try your hardest. The answer in the Bible is fearing God and shunning evil means trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Master, your model, your Lord. You see, wisdom is ultimately found in Jesus Christ because he's the true wise man. He's the true wise man, the wisest man who ever lived. He did fear his Father perfectly. He always honored his Father. He always respected his Father. He always obeyed his Father God. And he always perfectly shunned evil, meaning turned away from evil, didn't commit evil. And he lived this perfect life to honor his Father. And he never did evil, even though the devil tempted him like the devil tempted Job. But he never turned away and he never complained. And then Jesus gave his life to release us, to redeem us from our guilt and from our pain. And they killed Jesus on this Roman cross, this Roman execution place. And he hangs helpless on a cross. For political reasons, but ultimately to be a sacrifice, to go in our place so we could be ones who fear God and shun evil. And so what you see at the cross is the ultimate wisdom. You see, it's just like this bit of rock that Jesus was smashed at the cross. This amazing, bright, shining, sparkling jewel of wisdom comes out because it's God's love to us in Jesus that he's taken away our sins and he's making it possible for us to fear the Lord and shun evil and to know answers and to know eternal life. It is gloriously bright, sparkling wisdom at the cross as Jesus is dying. And he doesn't answer all of our questions. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, don't think Christians think they've got all the answers to all the questions that you've got. But he answers the fundamental question, where can I find wisdom? Where can I find God? I find him in Jesus Christ giving his life for me so I could fear God and shun evil and know the wisdom of God. Because Christ kind of encapsulates, like a jewel, encapsulates loads of value. Like gold is like compressed worth into a small little nugget. Jesus is everything wise and valuable and perfect and good. And understanding that is what Hannah's done. She appreciates lots of good things that have happened in her life. But ultimately, what she's saying is that she stopped looking to education or relationships or work or money to find ultimate fulfillment. But she said, I've come to the cross. I've come to Jesus Christ. I've knelt at the cross. I've found forgiveness at the cross. I've found new life at the cross. I've found the wisdom of God at the cross. And that is the most valuable thing. And that's an offer for anybody. You see, you can find wisdom because it's found in Jesus Christ. And God has revealed Jesus Christ to us. We can know him and we can know what it is to find the greatest treasure in him. And if you're not sure what that means, we would love to talk to you more about it, either now or if you want to make contact with us and we can talk it through some more.